And perhaps some observations from the audience, Martin?
Yeah. I share your concerns, and I would add one to the comments that you might mention is that 95% of the pages on the web are in English. And that is very, very important when you say worldwide people have access to internet more and more interest messaging in lots of things. But it's 95% of the web is in English. And as we do not do something to that, we will still have a problem for accessing the knowledge as you mentioned. That's one thing. The second thing is that the next conference of the UN about the information society is in Tunis. This is such incredible, because if there is a country that controls the internet, it's Tunis. You have no access to anything in Tunis. So it's really not understandable why the UN, which is promoting this kind of stuff, goes to Tunis. Maybe Jan, you can give an explanation why that is.
It's a total mystery. Yeah, Ron.
That would be the good way of looking at it.
Yeah. Ron.
The mention of peer-to-peer communications is really important. The shorthand is P2P communications. And it's important because for a large sector of the academic world, there's no understanding or comprehension of diversity, strength, and actual quantity of P2P communication systems that are established ad hoc in a grassroots manner, which is an explosion of democratic free thinking at a level that the media themselves can't cover because they can't keep track of it. In fact, Google does not keep track of it either. They keep introducing various tags into search systems in a way to try and capture the P2P, but P2P is precisely the opposite of centralized forms of communication and exchange. The implications are quite wonderful. Means that various forms of what we describe as broadcasting are being bypassed on a continual basis. Various forms of interaction between different kinds of communities are being developed at sophisticated levels that, for the most part, academics in particular, who should be looking, don't know how to look at. Often the argument that circulated in discussions we've had here has repeated itself in numerous instances, even upstairs in the bar. This constant emphasis on the broadcast media as some sort of manipulative space that controls the consciousness, the psychology of the various victims who are victims of it. And it usually comes out in a variety of ways that suggests that no one is actually responding. Well, it's the reverse. The broadcast media are declining in importance in certain countries. Some countries, that will not be the case, but in particular in Western culture, broadcast is dying. And what you have is the resurgence of what I would describe as narrowcast or lowcast form of communication, where now, you know, we were talking at one point about podcasting, where you basically recreate the very nature of the interaction people have with each other, and you're able to produce effectively a broadcast space through a narrowcast production means. So anyone with the desire and energy to podcast suddenly can discover, if they wish, an audience, or they can discover that their audience is 2 people or 100 people or 1,000 people. It doesn't matter, because the actual quantity of listeners is not the key part of the task. It's a reversal of the broadcast model. It's everyone attempting to become the creator of the message and not simply the recipient of it. So this is a very important thing, because it really does point towards a parallel system of education and learning that takes the various structures that we put in place, particularly through the school, and shows that they are actually not applicable in the same way. And I think that if we were to have an emphasis for the next day, it would be to try and, in a sense, distill the implications of what that provides us with as metaphor and reality for the changes that we're going to have.
Thank you, Ron. John?
I'd like to make a comment on the media in general, and also on the internet, especially say how much impressed I was with what Karina and Laura told us. I think that when television was first introduced in the middle 50s, people underestimated its importance as part of the total educational system. Had they realized the impact of television and other broadcast media, in education, they would never have given it to commercial interests. Romania was probably lucky to have a government that used broadcast as an integral part of education. And that may be why Romanian science was so good, despite some other problems. I think that now the media, the mass media, is in great danger because it's now concentrated in so few hands. And this is a threat to democracy. The fact that the broadcast media reflect the interests of a few large commercial concerns whose view is that of the establishment, I feel is a threat to democracy. But the internet, until now, is free and can be a medium of protest and a medium of education. One would wish that the broadcast media were similarly used to, first of all, to as a an instrument of education, and secondly, as an instrument for creating a culture of peace, which of course has been Federico Meyer's great project. But it looks bad for the culture of peace now, because the mass media are promoting a culture of violence.
Thank you, John. Lynn, you'll be the last one.
Okay. I was just going to respond and agree with Ron that it sounds like from what we've heard this morning, there are all these vast resources and opportunities to build community and trying to figure out, you know, what do we need to do to help people access this material? How do we deal with issues of quality, which I think are important? I don't think it's a matter of real learning or not real learning, but we need to ensure that the information that people are accessing has veracity and is something of value and quality. But it would be an interesting task to try to think about how could we, as we think about this notion of lifelong science learning, what are the platforms, the mechanisms to allow people to know what's available and connect? And I think one tool certainly is the internet, but there may be some other tools as well that would be useful to us as we think about that issue.
Thank you, Ben. Well, we've reached the end of this time slot here. You may want to ring the bell again. Yeah, it's time, and it's time for coffee. But before we go to have coffee, I would like to mention that one of us, Roy McWeeny, has his birthday today. So happy birthday to Roy. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Roy. Happy birthday. Oh, there's still some. Oh, what's that?
Organization in charge of the event.
Oh, no. And then the organization entrusts to you.
I'm sorry.
The responsibility of. Roy, come forward.
Yes.
You're summoned to the table.
I'm trying to do something that would serve as a memory of Holland also. So I hope you will appreciate you having brought me. See you very much.
It is so good.
No,
this will remind
me. Come again.
So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let's see.